Talking Flicks with JT and Grant Lee.
Yeah, hello and welcome to our Talking Flicks to episode. Hello, Mr. Lee.
Hello, JT. How are you this fine Wednesday?
I am wonderful. How are you, good sir?
Oh, look, I've had a great week. I don't want to give too much away, but you will have to wait until Friday's podcast to find out what I did on the weekend.
Oh,
and it took me an hour and a half to do it. Yeah.
Tonkers. Yeah. Yes. I'm looking forward to Friday's episode so we can dissect what you thought of your good old shaken, not stirred cocktail. Hopefully, I hope you enjoyed it, Miss Lee. I really do, as a little treat.
Well, it was, yeah. It
don't give too much
treat,
away. I don't want to give too much away because, like, yeah, I can see you thoroughly enjoyed it. Not so. We will. I hope you didn't enjoy it because if you did, I'll be very, very well. I'm not so happy. So we'll take a look at that a bit later on this week. But Mr. Lee, it's all about our Talking Flickster. Mickey 17 is our movie. You're liking this one?
Look, it is from a novel, from a 2022 novel from Edward Ashton, and it was called Mickey 7. So it's actually from that, and they've made it into a movie. And I think it sounds really interesting. Robert Pattinson, he stars as Mickey, and he actually, you know, it'll be interesting to find out what Duncan thinks of his role in this compared to Twilight. Or Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we shouldn't go back to Twilight. We shouldn't, because that Patterson doesn't like to talk about those any days.
Oh, stop it. We're going to do it. And we'll do it after we listen to the trailer. This is Mickey 17.
Hi, Mickey. Are you experiencing any vertigo?
I guess I am feeling a little dizzy.
Oh, wow. Did you see that?
Now, I wouldn't be surprised if you're thinking at this point, what have I done?
How lucky can one guy be?
Nothing was working out, and I wanted to get off of Earth.
You're applying to be an expendable?
Yeah.
You read through the whole application.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
Yeah, I should have read through it.
Once you die, we'll print a new version of your body.
They made me work my ass off on one mission after another.
Every time you die, we learn something new, and humanity moves forward.
Oh, wait! He's alive!
It's fine.
My life is gonna be beautiful.
Mickey!
It's not looking very good for you.
Yeah, no.
I'm sure you're used to it by now, but what's it feel like to die? Even on my 17th go-around, I hate dying. Why aren't you dead? We're multiples. In the case of multiples,
it's just like
we exterminate every individual.
Tell me quick.
Let's blow up these secondhand baloney boys.
Why don't you guys do rock, paper, scissors, and then we'll just shoot the loser.
Tell me quick.
I don't like you, but I'm you. I'm not you. I'm gonna kill you.
Tell me quick.
This is so exciting.
Yeah, it's Mickey 17. And to review it, it's a guy who I'm sure is so Team Edward. It's Duncan. G'day, Duncan. Welcome to Talking Flicks once again.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me again.
Welcome on board, mate. Now, were you Team Edward? Am I right?
Look, I was Team Nobody. I didn't ever watch it, honestly.
No.
I did not get caught up in the hype and excitement back all those years ago. I avoided it as much as I could.
Well, at least you weren't a twihard, right? Unlike Mr. Lee over there, because he was.
Yeah, I can picture that.
Well, thanks very much. I was actually going to say I support you, Duncan, but now I'm not going to say that.
You can do both.
Because,
it's okay.
Yeah, well, I actually didn't watch any of them either. They didn't. I'm not into werewolf movies. I'm not. My wife loves
them. when it comes to vampires, I need it like bloody and dark and gritty. None of this kind of teenage nonsense.
Yeah, I had the biggest crush on who was the girl in Twilight?
Kristen Stewart.
Kristen Stewart. Yeah. I had the biggest crush on her. She was. That was why I watched a little bit of it. And when I say a little bit, I mean like 10 minutes.
Sure. You sat through the all three, four,
no,
five,
I
six.
No, I certainly
movies.
Did. I can't do vampire movies.
If I go vampires, I'd rather like Let the Right One In or 30 Days of Night or something. Something where they're used properly.
Yeah. Yep. Well, Twilight's in the rearview mirror. Now we're looking at Mickey 17. Robert Pattinson. He's back in a new role. Dunk. Did it pass the pub test? Did you like it?
Yeah, a really fun time. When I watched the trailer back before it came out, I could tell it was going to kind of be funny and quirky, but in a sci-fi setting. And, you know, I love both those things together, like a good comedy and a sci-fi movie. So slap them together and I'm definitely sold. Just the acting was so good in it. You know, a good variety of actors and roles, but Robert Pattinson was just fantastic. You know, you can see and hear from the trailer that there's more than one version of him, which is why it's called Mickey 17. And you know, after watching Sonic 3 a few months ago and watching a movie where there was an actor playing two roles simultaneously, Robert Pattinson's just nailed that concept again. You know, both Mickey 17 and 18, so the two different ones that you see the most of, they have totally different personalities, and just the way they work together, it's crazy to think back at watching the movie, and at no point, you know, did I tell myself, oh, you know, Robert Pattinson is filming each version of Mickey at different times, and, you know, they're being put together on screen. Like, you forget that that's how it's done. You just think there's two versions of this guy really there. Like, it's just so convincing. So that was great. You know, the funny voice that he uses and his, like, different moods and attitudes between the two different versions of him that you see. Just amazing acting. I think that's definitely the highlight. But I really enjoyed the world building as well. It's set in 2054, so, you know, 30 years from now. So it doesn't feel like super far in the future. Like, it feels like something that could be happening in 30 years where, you know, humans are trying to get off Earth and go and colonize other planets. So that's what Mickey's doing. He's trying to get off planet Earth and, you know, go out into space to help colonize another planet. So just like the journey in space to the other planet's really cool. When they get there, the planet itself and the creatures on it, it just feels like such a real place. And I just loved all the detail they put into the locations and all the characters. It just felt really alive, like every location was really cool. And the story itself, it's a really fun start. And as it goes on, it gets really fleshed out, and it almost runs the risk of like too much going on. Kind of reminded me of when I saw Beetlejuice. I was like, it's really cool, but they keep packing more and more and more into it. Like, are they gonna pull this off? But by the end of the movie, awesome conclusion, I thought. Like, I was really happy with it. It was a really fun, wild ride. It's, what, 2 hours and 17 minutes, I think it was.
Yeah,
and,
two and a quarter, yeah.
You know, that sounds like a long movie for a lot of people, but I had a blast for the whole journey. So it flew by for me. But yeah, really good, really happy with it.
Oh, that's so good. You mentioned the other actors and all that. Were there any other standout actors, supporting actors in the movie?
Yeah, so straight after Robert Pattinson, I'd probably have to mention Mark Ruffalo and Toni Collette. And I put them together because Mark plays Kenneth Marshall, who's like a failed politician on Earth. I guess to kind of escape his failures and to continue in his own mind as being as amazing as he is, he's leading the expedition to this next planet, Niflheim. Niflheim, you say it. So they're going to Niflheim. So it's here's Kenneth Marshall and Toni Collette's wife, and it's very obvious that he's based off Trump, and they never really explicitly say it. And there's not enough similarities that somebody could say, yeah, look, you've definitely based this character off him. But just the way he's so arrogant and full of himself and I don't know, he'll say whatever he wants to have people follow him and to think he's amazing. Like Mark Ruffalo has these big fake teeth in his mouth and he just looks ridiculous and he sounds ridiculous. And you just can't help but hate these two characters for just how just in love with themselves they are, but how stupid they are at the same time. And they're running the whole colonization expedition. So they're the ones in control of everybody. They're super funny. Like, you hate them, but you love them because whenever they're on the screen, they're just so ridiculous and over the top that you can't help but have fun with them. And then who else? Naomi Ackie, she plays Nasha, who is Mickey's girlfriend. And I recognized her from when I saw Blink Twice. She was the main character in that. I think from memory, this is only the second time that I've seen her in something, but I thought she was great. She's as much, one of the main characters as Mickey's, because, you know, she's dating Mickey throughout all his different versions from when the expedition starts up to, you know, 17 and 18. So she's known him sort of, you know, all along this journey. She's a big part of the story as well, but she's just a real badass character, but she's also really funny. She was also a standout. And then there's a lot of faces like I recognize from other movies. The guy that played the young kid in This Is England back in the day, I can't remember the actor's name, but he has a minor role in it. I think you pronounce his name Steven Yeun. The guy that plays Glenn in The Walking Dead, he's like almost a main character. He plays Mickey's friend who's sort of been there since the start of the whole plot. He did a good job as well. So yeah, there's plenty of side characters that make it an awesome experience.
Dunk, now it's one of these sci-fis that's been described as having a bit of everything. There's a bit of horror, there's slapstick right throughout it, also a lot of dark humor. Is that the vibe you were getting from these characters?
Yeah, definitely. Like, it is very funny, but it's definitely dark comedy as well. Like, lots of light-hearted moments, but it's kind of like, I don't know, it's almost a depressing theme as well, because I guess it's talking about just how expendable people are to those in power that, will kind of use people as their tools to get what they want. That's essentially what Mickey's out there in space to do, like, as an expendable. He's someone who's just seen as a tool to do a job. Sort of everybody forgets that he's really a person, and they might be able to print him out every day, but he's still experiencing these things. He still has that core memory, he's still like, everyone's just like, oh, what's dying like? But no one ever really seems to think, like, how does that make you feel? I guess there's some really serious kind of themes there underneath, but at the same time, it's constant, funny, silly humor as well. So, yeah, it's just a really good blend.
Oh, that's so good. Now, tell me, are there any Easter eggs or references to other sci-fi movies in this movie?
I'm sure there probably is. Like I said before, I really like sci-fi. I've watched a lot of sci-fi, but I'm pretty bad at remembering, like, really unique little moments. I couldn't really tell you for sure. Like, there's a scene where there's the couple of Mickeys standing at a door in the ship, and the door's opening, and it kind of gets stuck about halfway just near their faces and goes up again. And I'm like, that feels like it's an Easter egg or a reference, but I can't think of what it's from. I was like, is that a Star Wars thing that, you know, there's probably people that have seen it that are listening to me say this and be like, oh, there's all these things that you miss. So I'm sure there is. But they must have been subtle enough, or I was too clueless and I missed them. But I feel like it's the sort of movie that I do really want to watch again, because, you know, it's just fast paced and there's a lot happening, and there's so much detail that I want to watch it again and kind of sort of try and soak in things I might have missed.
Now, this is a movie that was actually supposed to come out last year, last March, but Warner held it off for 12 months, so it's finally been released now. I wonder what the reasoning was for holding up the film for that time. Well, they just didn't think it was right, and why wait so long?
I didn't actually look up the reason why it was delayed. I was listening to someone else's review about it, and they were talking about the delay, and they said that when a trailer, they first saw a trailer for the movie, I guess back whenever the first trailer dropped, that it seemed like it had a more serious tone. And then, you know, much later when another trailer came out, it seemed like they'd added a lot more humor into it. So unless it was really shadowing the book that it's based off a lot more, and then they thought that they wanted to add some of their own flair to it, I'm not exactly sure why it got delayed, but it's something I'll have to look into. But because I'm really happy with the end result, like I feel like whatever they did do,
a good job,
was worth it. Yeah, yeah. And then I've heard a couple of other things, like I've heard someone say, oh, it would have been good if it could have been a bit longer to flesh out the backstory of some of the previous versions of Mickey leading up to 17. Because you see some sort of quick little snippets about it, and it's he's narrating over the top of it, so you get a bit of an idea how the previous Mickeys died leading up to the 17th version. But, you know, I've heard people say, oh, it'd be good if they could spend more time on that, showing you more in depth. And then there's other people that are saying, oh, they could have shaved off 15 minutes and made it a neat 2 hours. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's why it got delayed. Maybe there was a bit of indecision around what it should be and what exactly should it show or not. But yeah, like I said, I like the end result, so I'm happy with whatever they did to get to this point. But, you know, maybe there'll be a director's cut and we'll find out what it may have been.
Yeah, which is probably, yeah, the only way we will actually know the truth about it. So, yeah. Now, the director, which is Bong Joon-ho, who won an Oscar for Parasite, and I probably did pronounce his name wrong, but anyway, have you seen Parasite, and have you seen other movies from this Korean director?
Yep. So I've watched Parasite a number of times. I love that movie. And the only other one that I've watched, and it was quite a long time ago, I think it was back around the time it released, so I can't remember what year, but quite a long time ago, was Snowpiercer. And yeah, and I like I said, it's a long time ago, but I remember I really enjoyed it. And I mean, it must have been good enough to get the TV series they based off it as well. So I guess other people liked it as well. But the thing I remember about Snowpiercer was just like the train that the whole movie was set on was just like such an impressive, like I call it a world. I mean, it's a physical train, not a planet. But like, you know, the world that the movie created inside the train was just such a cool place. And, you know, to have a movie kind of travel from one end of a train to the other across the duration of the movie and have so many different locations and, like, types of, you know, people throughout the train like that, that's what I remember being so good about it. And it was the same with Parasite, you know. Parasite's really focused around the couple of families in the movie and that's really, you know, the house that it's in is really the main setting of the whole movie. So I feel like, you know, the director, he can just take locations and just make them feel so like captivating and immersive. And it was the same with Mickey 17. Like, just, yeah, the ship that they're traveling in, the planet that they land on, they're just the places that you enjoy experiencing. And I think that, you know, is obviously one of his specialties. Like, when you're watching one of his movies, you really enjoy being there, you know, for the runtime. So, yeah, that's obviously a massive skill of his.
Dunk, sequels, spin-offs, could there be potentials? Do you see this one playing out? Will we see another Mickey movie?
I did my usual. As soon as, like, you know, the credits popped up, I get on Google and I look up post-credit scene to see if it's worth sticking around for. And there isn't one for this movie. And the funny thing is like, it really feels like it could have one. Like, I didn't feel robbed that it didn't have one, but, like I enjoyed the conclusion, like where it ends and, you know, where it could go. Like, I definitely think there's potential. I think they've left it open-ended so that, you know, if it doesn't get a sequel, it's totally fine. It's a great ending. Mm. If it does get a sequel, then I can totally see there being flow on from where it ends. So, yeah, maybe. I guess we'll have to see how it performs. And, I mean, I know that this movie is based off a book. I don't know if there's more books in that series or if, you know, there's other source material they can use for something else. But I really want more of it. I really enjoyed Mickey as a character in all these versions. I really enjoyed the world that it was setting. Like, I would love to see more.
Now, out of... Oh, I suppose you better open the freezer. Thank you.
Go to the important thing, Mr. Lee.
Yeah, we must do. Sorry. So out of 5 Chock Tops, Duncan, how many Chock Tops are you going to give this movie, Mickey 17?
I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5.
Whoa.
Whoa.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a really good time.
We haven't had a 4 for a long time. So that's really good.
It's impressive.
What would have made it 5 if it had done something else?
Look, I think the only reason I wouldn't, like, give it a perfect score is, like I was saying, how there's some parts where, like, there's so many sort of, like, elements happening probably around the middle of the movie that it almost feels like it's getting bloated and there's too much happening. And there's just, like, one little subplot that kind of feels like it doesn't really go anywhere. And I just feel like maybe if some things you know, were trimmed out that didn't really need to be there, you know, it could have ended up being like more of a perfect score. But I was sort of tossing up between, do I go like 3, do I go 4? But like, at the end of the day, after picking a movie apart, I really just like to say to myself, did I have a good time? You know, was I captivated? Did I want more? Was I impressed with the majority of the elements of the movie? And I mean, I did. I liked everything. Like, I liked the world. I liked the story. I liked the themes. I liked the acting. There's too many good things to only give it a 3. So it's definitely a 4.
There you go. So that's Mickey 17. And as you heard from Duncan, getting a 4 out of 5 Chock Tops. It's a really good movie. Go and check it out. Next week is also a good movie that we will be checking out, Mr. Lee, with our Talking Flickster.
Yeah, and it's Michael, and he's watching Black Bag. What would your question be, Duncan, for Michael next week?
My question is, because I don't know a lot about this movie just yet, I see that it has Michael Fassbender, who's been in a lot of great movies. And I was just wondering what your favorite Michael Fassbender movie is. Like, what's your favorite role of his? And how does it compare to his role in Black Bag?
Okay, great question. Thank you very much, Dunk. So we'll get the answer next week from Michael. And if you want to be a Talking Flickster, of course, forum6.com.au, odn5.com.au. Mr. Lee's got a form there that you can fill out and tell us what kind of movie you want to go and see.
Yes, and we'll be sending you off to either Orange, Wagga or Tamworth to watch that movie and then come onto the podcast and give us a rundown, just like Duncan has today.
Yeah, that's simple.
Oh,
so get onto it.
Wow, the music.
It's the music. You know that means, Mr. Lee. You do know, don't
it
you?
It does. Yeah. It is. Our wise wisdom, JT.
Oh, I was going to say
the wise words.
I was going to say it's time to go, but you're right. You are right. Yes. Would you like some positivity, or do you want to just skip
yes,
to
please.
The close? No, you want some. Yep. Okay.
No. I want some positivity, please.
All right.
I think we all need it.
We've got some Dr. Zeus this week because Dr. Zeus, very wise. You have brains in your head, your feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know. And you are the guy who'll decide where to go.
Oh,
it was pretty good.
I like that.
It was great, wasn't
that
it?
Is.
That was the best one yet. Yeah.
Dr. Zeus is awesome. He's
very clever,
awesome.
Dr. Zeus. Yeah. Green eggs and ham all the way.
Yes.
I am Sam. I am.
That
yes.
is right, Sam. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Hey, Dunk, thanks for coming on once again. You've been a legend. I think Dunk is gone.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, there he is. Oh.
Okay.
Sorry, I said thanks, guys. I thought you heard that bit.
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't. Sorry. No.
The music was putting me to sleep. It's so soothing.
Oh, well, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. It's supposed to be positive. It's uplifting. You gents have a wonderful day, Mr. Lee. I'll catch you.
Thank you.
On Friday midday,
and we're
going to unload cocktail. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on how much you love the movie. And remember, it's got to be positive. Can't be negative.
It will be very positive.
You got to tell me how much you love Tom Cruise. So start rehearsing now, okay?
I will try.
Catch you Friday midday.
Bye.
Want more Talking Flicks? Get your fix with every episode anywhere, anytime. Just search Talkin' Flicks on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, forum6.com.au or odeon5.com.au. Until next time, we'll see you at the movies.